Switching it up a little bit this January. I love January. All things new and fresh and clean, and many are making resolutions, and you are setting new goals, and all of that is, you know, I want you to do all of it, but you also know the statistics say that about 92% of people give up on their resolutions in just a few weeks. And so I'm not setting you up for failure today, and I don't want you to fail. I want to be realistic in what it is that God is asking us to do. And I realize that the new year covers many fronts. You may have family goals, and you may have health goals, you may have career or education goals. Maybe you want to go from renting to owning this year. Maybe you want to start a family or figure out retirement. All of that is important. Whatever you're wanting to do in 2025, whatever you're wanting to accomplish, whatever you are wanting to achieve, but my primary role is to push you spiritually. My job is to challenge you and to equip you and to lead you. And I really want you to succeed in all of those areas. But if we don't get the spiritual right, then those other things will not matter. And here's the challenge. The spiritual ends up being secondary on our list, or thirdendary, or fourthendary. I don't know how many of those we can do, but spiritual ends up being a little further down the list, because we just assume that the spiritual will fill in the gaps. We're going to focus on the finance, we're going to focus on the career, we're going to focus on the family, we're going to focus on building the home, and the spiritual will take care of itself. I'll get to church when I have time to get to church, but I'm going to go ahead right here on this first Sunday and tell you that the enemy will make sure that you never have the time. Create so much chaos in your life that you never feel like you are getting there. And so the question is always, where do I start? Where do I begin? What do I do? Yeah, the calendar turned and it's a new year, but I really don't know what to do. And when I see all that needs to happen to change me, 360 days overwhelms me. And so I have to look at this as a one day at a time challenge. How do I do today what God has called me to do? How do I remain faithful today? I'm not trying to solve 360 days from now. I'm trying to settle today. And so it is my conviction that these first few days of the new year center around the spiritual, because we need a few days, and well, we need a season. Just look at somebody and tell them, welcome to sacred season. Welcome to sacred season. So we normally couple our New Year series with sacred season. If you've been around the Church Covington the last few years, we have used this sacred season just as an identifier of our time of fasting, our time of dedication, these 21 days that we choose to give to the Lord. And then usually we are pushing and motivating and some other series and trying to kind of bring our thoughts around a goal, a desire, a want for godly things. But I really felt the Lord ask me a couple of weeks ago to make sacred the series, to just lean in instead of trying to get you to focus on two different things at one time, or to potentially divide our attention. I just felt the Lord say, what could happen if we focus on the spiritual? What could happen if we just lock in on the holy and we make room for His glory? That's why today it certainly will not be a sermon, and probably not going to be as much of a message as it is a call, a challenge, a summons to the sacred. And some of you are saying, "Sign me up! I'm ready. You already know. You already have this as a part of your New Year plan and your New Year goal, and you've already kind of framed this in your household." And yet, others, I'm going to try to convince you, and I'm going to do everything I can to get you to lean into this, because the best and most effective way to make God bigger in our lives is to make us smaller. The best way to magnify the Lord is to get me smaller, my wants, my wishes, my desires, and make His plans and His wants and His wishes for my life much, much larger. I love what John said in the gospel, chapter 3 and verse 30, "He must increase, but I must decrease." He has to get bigger, and I have to get smaller. He has to rule and reign, and I have to submit, and I have to follow. He has to get larger, and I have to shrink back. I know that flies in the face of modern theology, TikTok theology, that says, "Oh no, boo! You need to be big, and you just need to be, you know, you need to walk in every room." And I'm all about walking in every room with head held high and knowing who I am, not in me, but in Christ. I'm not talking about arrogance. I'm talking about confidence in the things of the Lord. But that's impossible. It's impossible to carry that kind of confidence if you have not spent time on your knees, if we have not spent time submitting ourselves to God, decreasing so that He can increase. And nothing decreases us like fasting. So I'm going to talk a little bit today about fasting, and I'm going to tell you kind of what our plan is the next 3 weeks, 21 days, and I'm going to ask you to be a part of that, because I believe God wants you to be a part of that on some level, and you're going to understand in just a few moments as I get into this that there are all kinds of levels and ways that you can participate. So I know when you hear the word fast, you just immediately think, "I'm gonna be gaunt. I'm gonna be weak. I'm gonna struggle." And it doesn't have to be that way. But we are a tripart being. We are body, soul, and spirit. Some of God's creation is a one part being. Think of a tree. A tree is a one part being. It doesn't have a spirit, it doesn't have a soul. I know you think your plants thrive when you talk to them, but your plants do not have the Holy Ghost. keep talking to them. It's probably therapeutic for you and makes you feel better. But plants, trees, they're a one part being. And then, you know, your pet. There's argument about this, that animals are two part beings. They don't have souls. I mean, I know all dogs and no cats are going to heaven. And first Sunday of the year, I'm already in trouble with somebody. But but man is a three-part being: body, soul, and spirit. So when we look at your body, our bodies connect us to ourselves through our senses. Bodies connect us. We're aware. We feel. PK got me a bracelet for Christmas. I don't have it on today. I had it on all day yesterday, but it's some kind of magnetic thing, you know, that's supposed to just relieve aches and pains and all of that. So I'll report back in a couple of weeks if it's working or not. It didn't match what I was wearing today, so I decided to live with the aches and pains because my fit is more important than my feeling. But the body connects us to ourselves, and we feel those things. Our soul connects us to others. It's our essence. It's our emotions. It's how we feel about other people. Our soul connects us to others. And then our spirit connects us to God. And we feel that. We felt that in this service today. Really, you feel all of it in a service like that. Your spirit is identifying and feeling the presence of the Lord. And then, man, all of a sudden you feel a burden for somebody else. As soon as people came down today for prayer, there were others. Hey, that's my friend. Or maybe I don't even know them, but I just feel drawn to go and pray with them. I love it that Jason, I know he's still weak in his body, but he came down and was praying for every one of those that are dealing with cancer, because nobody knows like the one who's been on this journey. And so we feel that connection, and we feel drawn, and then we feel it in our bodies as well. Our bodies recognize the presence of the Lord. I don't know about you, but the hair stands up on my arms and the back of my neck, and I start getting those doodads running up and down my spine, and I know I'm in the presence of the Lord. Body, soul, and spirit, whichever one of those is the strongest, controls the other two. Fasting weakens two and strengthens one. It strengthens the right one. And I know you want your spirit to rule your body and your soul, or your senses and your emotions. Matthew 17, if you want to turn with me there, just a few verses of scripture you can put a finger on. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, this is why they're coming in private, because they had just encountered a boy who was demon-possessed, and the father was panicked and wanted the disciples, the representatives of Jesus, to pray for him and to see him delivered, because lots of people were being delivered, and there were miracles happening on every street corner and in all of the villages. And so this father says, hey, no reason why my son can't get in on this. And the disciples prayed for the boy, and nothing happened. And so they came to Jesus in private and said, why couldn't we drive it out? Why couldn't we drive the spirit, the evil spirit, the devil out? Jesus replied in verse 20, because you have so little faith. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it'll move. Nothing will be impossible for you. However, verse 21, this kind, talking about this kind of devil, this kind of enemy, this kind of challenge, this kind of circumstance in your life, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. And I don't want you to miss that. He's talking to the disciples. The disciples are saying, we had no power for this. Those hands selected just right for the job, guys, they had no power. So they come sheepish, they come embarrassed. And Jesus says, you gotta have faith for everything, but this kind only happens through prayer and fasting, because some spiritual stuff does not happen by clapping and running and shouting. And I plan to do all of that in 2025. But some things will not happen because of my praise. Some things will not happen because of my shout. Some things will only happen because I pray and I fast. You see, prayer connects us to God. Prayer connects us to God. You want to be connected to God. I'm all about networking. I'm all about knowing the right people. I'm all about meeting people and getting that phone number. You never know when you're going to need that contact. Never going to know when you may need that connection. All of that is wonderful. All of that is great. But prayer is the only thing that connects us to God. Well, my mama prays, and because I'm connected to my mama, that's great and that's good, and I'm not saying there isn't value in that, but you need to pray and you need to talk to God. Well, Pastor Dale, I got your number and I know the Lord. You got the Lord's number, and just so I can get to you, then you can get to God on my behalf. And sure, I'll pray for you, but I'm telling you, God wants to establish a connection with you. He wants you to pray. You say, but I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to put those words together. That's the wonderful thing about the Lord. You don't have to know how to pray. You don't have to have the right words. He knows you. He put words in your mouth. He gave you the ability to speak, and all he wants you to do is come honest and open and humble and just pray. Pray. Maybe you've had that friend that you've not talked to in a while, and you're kind of in this standoff. They're not calling you, and you're not calling them. And you don't know why you stopped talking, but you think every day, there's got to be something wrong. She is mad at me. I don't know what I did to him. But you start imagining all kind of things that must have happened as to why you are not talking. Because time together, communication builds confidence. And I understand today that prayer is going to be as individual as people are. Your prayer time is probably going to follow your personality mostly. If you're bold and courageous in life, if you're loud, if you never meet a stranger, if you walk into every room just how y'all doing, inviting everybody over, to your next family gathering, your prayer time is probably going to look like that as well. Come on, Lord, go to dinner with me. Come on, let's have a party and let's talk. And if you're quiet and you don't meet people easily and you're just kind of inward and to yourself, then your prayer time is probably going to look like that as well. And all of that is wonderful. All of that is perfect. Prayer can be as diverse as people are. And all of us are individuals. We're on different schedules. We have morning people in the room. We have night people in the room. But if we want to be successful in the things of God, then we have to be willing to do godly things. We must pray. We must pray. And I know I'm talking to people in the room today that you have never really prayed. And somebody else says, that's impossible. Everybody's prayed. And sure, everyone has. But when I speak of prayer in this context, I'm talking about in relationship with the Lord. Just like you talk to your kids and you make sure you connect with your spouse daily, and you're checking in with your elderly parent or whatever the case may be. You're communicative. You're reaching. You're trying to talk. You're trying to say what it is that you feel. Some of you have never prayed, and I want to challenge you the first Sunday of 2025 that this is your season to start praying. You say, I don't have one of those prayer closets. I don't have one of those knee pads that I can, I don't have an altar bench. You don't need any of that. It's beautiful, it's wonderful, but you don't have to have any of that. You may have a 15-minute ride from the house to the office. You may have a 9-minute drive from the house to the school, or when you finally get the kids dropped off, 9 minutes in peace by yourself on the way. What if you turn the radio off? What if you shut the podcast off? What if you leave the phone where, by law, it's supposed to be, over there in the seat where you can't reach it? Oh, Lord, I done hit a nerve. Guilty. I'm guilty too. What would happen if we shut all that off for 9 minutes? And I heard what the devil just said to you. If 9 minutes is all you have to give to God, why even bother? Because it'll be the best 9 minutes of your day. Don't let the devil steal that from you. Because God would love to hear from you, even if it's just 9 minutes. What you're going to find out is the more you talk to him, the more you're going to have to say to him. The more time you spend with him, the more time you're going to want to spend with him. So start with the 9 minutes. Start with the 15 minutes. Start with the 3 minutes. Whatever it is you can give to God. Whatever it is you have time for. I get a 30-minute lunch at work, and I usually eat my sandwich in 2.5 minutes, and then I sit there for 26 and a half more minutes, and I scroll my phone, or maybe I catch up, or I just choose to work through. What if you just take a little bit, a few of those minutes to say, Lord, this feels weird and this is awkward, and I don't know, maybe I'm just going to go walk in the parking lot because I don't want anybody to see me in the break room with my head bowed and these tears running down. I don't know, I'm just going to go out and walk, or I'm going to drive, or I'm going to do something. I just want to connect with God, because if I want to be successful in the things of God, then I have to be willing to do godly things. Praying connects us to God. Fasting disconnects us from the world. It's important. It's more important now than it ever has been to be disconnected from the world. Contrary to popular belief or opinion, fasting is not suffering, or is it punishing ourselves? It really is not. And I know modern time, there's all kinds of creative ways and people connect their fast to health reasons and health things, and there's people who are, you know, a touch legalist in this area that say, no, if you're doing that, if you're doing some kind of juice cleanse, you can't call that a fast. Listen, God, if you do anything as unto the Lord, he's going to receive it as unto himself. I promise you, the Lord is not going to be mad at you for trying to get your health together. Not going to be upset with you. And so if you're trying to find ways to make all of this work for you, because again, we're body, soul, and spirit. So if we're trying to get our body together, Lord, I'm up here preaching like I'm actually going to do some of that. Y'all pray for your boy in 2025. I heard you, Lord. Hush. Fasting disconnects us from the world. I literally in Texas pastoring a beautiful family. They left the church because I said on a Wednesday night Bible study that I did not like to fast. They left the church over that. Guess what? I still don't like to fast. I hope nobody leaves today, but if you like to fast, you're not doing it right. Because it's me going without something that I love. It's going without something that I crave. It's going without something that I want. And if I go without it for God, there's going to be a certain bit of misery involved in that. But the goal, the outcome, the return on investment, it's so valuable because it disconnects us from the world. Because we are in the world. I know we have to function. I know we have to operate. I know we have to make many things work, but we are not supposed to be of the world. There is supposed to be a distinction. There is supposed to be a peculiarity. There is supposed to be a uniqueness. We are this royal priesthood. I'm not talking about walking around like we're better than anybody. We're not better than anybody. We just happen to know something in this area. So it's not about being better, it's just about disconnecting from the world. In other words, the world should not be defining us. The world should not be shaping us or our minds as a product of current culture. And fasting helps me keep all of that in perspective. You remember Adam and Eve, they lost their dominion when they fed their appetites in the garden. We lose something when we are too connected to the world. If you've not read this Bible, nearly every page is going to be telling you, disconnect from the world. Disconnect from that kind of thinking. Disconnect from that way of living. Do something unto me. Live for me. Reach for me. Strive to do what the Lord is calling us to do. So we have the opportunity the next 21 days to connect our three-part being to fasting. 21 days. 21 days fly by until you start fasting. Then they move just as slow. Ooh, Lord, they are slow. If you feel like you've been living life at just this holiday rat race pace, you're about to slow way down. January 6th through the 26th. My kids, the last couple of days. No, Elle said yesterday she was getting ready to go back to college and she was trying to figure out something. I'm going to eat something healthy. And she said, no, I'm not. I'm starting fast. I'm about to go eat something bad. So you got one more day to be bad. You got today, Sunday lunch and Sunday afternoon snack and Sunday first supper and second supper and whatever you can get in right before midnight. Sunday, starting tomorrow, January 6th through the 26th. Let's take them 7 days at a time. I'm gonna give you a little help. This first seven, we're gonna focus on connecting our spirit to God. Yeah, I know we're working our way back to routines, it's gonna take a few days. But I want to spend this first week of 21 from tomorrow until next Sunday to really think about God. You mean we're not giving up food? No, that's next week. Oh, well, sign me up. I'm in. But I want you to think about this. And if you're ready to jump into a food fast, and that's this is yours. This is your canvas to paint on. You do what God is calling you to do. But I'm just giving you a little framework that you can work with while you're getting the kids back to school, while you're getting your house back in order, and you know all the things. But spend some time with your mind on godly things, spiritual things. You say, Pastor, that sounds so easy. Is it? I mean, how have we been doing with that? Colossians 3 and 2 says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And this is not about creating guilt. This is an invitation into sacred. This is an invitation into holy, into godly things. So, if starting tomorrow, and I want you to think about spiritual things today as well, but I mean, we're just January 6th through the 26th. What if you spent the next 7 days trying to get alone with God? You say, that's impossible. Have you met my kids? I get it. I know we have to keep living. But what if we steal every moment we possibly can? What if instead of listening to whoever's latest music drop, we put on worship music every opportunity that we can. Maybe you love your country music on those 9-minute drives. What if you switch it up? Find you some good twang and southern gospel. It's almost the same. What if you find some worship music and you steal every moment you possibly can and you just kind of live in God thoughts. What if you choose wholesome conversations and you run from drama? I'm not talking about the drama you create. I know you're drama free. It's some other people. Some people you work with. It's some people you're related to. And I'm not inviting anyone or suggesting anyone get on Facebook and say, "All right, I'm fasting drama." I'd just soon you not announce you're fasting at all. Let's just go ahead and follow Paul's instruction. It's not something we brag about. I won't be on social media for 7 days, but if you need me, I'm on Messenger. Like, the world is about to fall apart if people can't find you. That's drama. Fast drama. Don't get involved with drama. Oh, I'm preaching good. What if in the next 7 days we start thinking about our new year goals and resolutions and spiritual desires through this filter? That's going to make for a great year, folks. That's going to set the other 51 weeks remaining after this week. That's going to change the game. If out of this season of, wait a minute, Lord, I want to spend time with you. I want to pray. I want to talk to you. I just want to get alone with you. And my spouse is there. My kids are there. Honey, is everything all right? It's good. I'm just connecting to God. Don't assume anything's wrong with the other. Communicate. Talk to one another, but what if we just get alone with God as much as we possibly can? And then our second seven, next Monday through January 19th, we're out of order just a little bit, but we need to get our mindset right for maximum results. We got to start preparing the mind to go without food for a few days. And so you're going to spend this week, I'm gearing up, I'm ramping up, I'm preparing my mind, I'm getting my heart focused in and thinking about godly things. And then next Sunday we'll worship together and it'll be beautiful. And I believe that God is going to meet us. And then Monday you're going to wake up and for the next 7 days find some kind of food thing. I've said it before, but if I fast Brussels sprouts, it is meaningless to God. Because I wouldn't have been eating them anyway. If you see me posting that I'm fasting broccoli, just know the devil done got in. But if I give up Dr. Pepper for 7 days, Y'all better get ready to get healed. My shadow gonna be healing people. I'm not kidding. So you gotta figure out what God is asking you to do. Maybe you can do a total fast, just water only for 2 days, a day, 3 days. I don't know. Maybe you're interested in going without for a period of time. Anything you give to God is a beautiful thing. I met a man one time who said that he fasted 40 days. He said, "Easiest thing I've ever done." What? Fasting 40? Easiest thing you've ever done? Fasting 40 days was easy? I mean, Jesus was seeing all kind of stuff and devil was showing up. He was fighting all kind of battles on his 40-day fast. I said, "Man, how did you do it?" He said, "Well, I just drank a gallon of milk every day." Somebody look up how many calories are in a gallon of milk. I'm talking about finding something and devoting it to God. Maybe that's a total fast. Maybe that's a Daniel fast. Maybe you decide not to eat sweets. Maybe you go without meat. But find something. Why? because some things only come by fasting. So you're going to spend these first few days thinking about what it is you want God to do, and then you're going to realize, wait a minute, the only way for God to do that is if I give him more of me, if I decrease, if I get smaller. And the best way for me to get smaller is to fast, to disconnect from the world, to say no to things so that I can say yes to the thing, to temporarily step away from things that I love, to just say, Lord, you are more important to me than these other things. And then we're going to come together on the 19th, and every January we do this annual anointing service. That's 2 Sundays from now. It's always special. Why don't you do that on the 5th? I mean, this is the first, because I want your mind to be right and I want your heart to be right, so that when we get to the anointing service, nothing hindering, nothing blocking, there's nothing holding you back, there's no encumberment. Don't miss January 19. It'll be a special day. Pray for everybody. You may be new and you're saying, all right, that's spooky. What is that? I promise you it's not. We're just going to pray. Anybody. Well, I've anointing service, I've prayed for pocketbooks and businesses and purses and husbands and kids, and I'm going to anoint. And I believe that our year is going to be established in the anointing. And then that Monday, the 20th, we'll start our final push toward 21 days. Because now that our mind is right and our body is submitted, we're going to step into a soul fast. This will probably look like a media fast for the majority of us. TV, movies, our current binge. It may take the Lord descending with a shout, but 7 days off of social media will do you good, I promise you. 7 days of no news coverage, man. And I would encourage you, maybe you need to prepare for this over the next couple of weeks. Plan to journal. Maybe you want to pick up an old school journal or a tablet or something that is private and special to you, somewhere you can just write down your thoughts and God can speak to you and you can hear him. And not going to be publishing that. You're not going to be bringing that, turning that in. It's just between you and God. It's a soul fast. Starting tomorrow, spending as much time with him as you possibly can. Next week, saying no to some food, something, and then a soul fast. And just be prepared. We're going to do some pop-up prayer. We may be live on social media pages, or we may just put the word out, get a text that we're praying at the church tonight. If you want to come, come. Come. Get a few minutes. Get a few minutes with God, so that you can see the Lord work in your life. It's an invitation to submit to the sacred. I can't mandate this. I can't require this. You have to want this. But I can make you this promise. If you lean into this season, this sacred season, it will change the outcome of your new year. I have friends that have these Tesla electric vehicles. They're cool. There's a version of Tesla that's called a Plaid. P-L-A-I-D. I've been in a few of these, and fastest thing I've ever been in. And it doesn't run in Plaid all the time. You have to tell it. You have to tell it. I want to go into launch mode. Literally, it's what it says on the screen. I'm going into launch mode. And when you select that you're going to go into launch mode, all of a sudden you hear that vehicle start preparing itself. You hear it. It starts heating up that battery. Everything about it, it starts changing its stance, the shocks, the suspension, it starts adjusting, it starts preparing. Battery is heating up. It's grabbing power and energy and it's sourcing it from every direction, preparing to launch that vehicle. And you may be sitting at a traffic light. We happen to be sitting by one of those brand new Corvettes. Oh yeah, I heard you, Joe, yeah. All I know is I wasn't driving, but when we launched, we left it so far back there. It's 0 to 60 in like 1.5 seconds. I mean that. Preparing to launch. What we're doing starting today, tomorrow, we're preparing to launch. And your spirit is going to start pulling every direction. What's happening? There's something heating up in me. There's something rising up in me. My gait is changing. My stance is changing. My spiritual suspension is adjusting because I'm preparing to launch into this new year. And after 21 days, our marriages are going to be better. Our relationships with our kids are going to be better. We're going to be spiritually locked in to see God do exactly what he wants to do in 2025. Anybody want to go on this journey? I want to go. Submit. Submit to sacred. It's a season. It's a season. Submit. Why don't you stand with me across the room?